Amen. Thank you, girls. How old are they, Lee? 12 years old. I couldn't sing that good when I was that age. I love football season. I was at a kind of a retreat trying to grow closer to the Lord yesterday in North Carolina. Right after lunch sometime, we were praying in the spirit. My phone buzzed, so I waited till we got through praying before I checked it. Tennessee was playing the Oregon Ducks yesterday. And I looked at my text and it merely said, quack, quack. Then this morning, someone from the first service brought me a duck. I really like that. I couldn't find my orange socks this morning. I was going to wear them, but you know how that is. Guys, I'm really pumped up about kid stuff. I mean, I got so excited about it, thinking about it this week coming. And if you've never been to it, it's amazing the message that it conveys, how they do it, the energy that just comes from it. And it's one of the best things we've ever did. And I got thinking about it, and so to kick off kind of kid stuff this weekend, I wanted to get into this parenting series called Raising Amazing Kids. And we're going to be in it for a little while. This week's going to be the spiritual foundation for successful children. And we're just expanding this relationship stuff that we've been talking about, you know, for several months now. And we're going to be talking about what wise parents know and that they do. Now, your kids may be grown. You might not have kids. You may never intend to have kids. And you're thinking, well, I can just kind of check out on this one. I'd say you're dead wrong. You may be 90, and your kids might be 70, but they're still your kids. You are a parent for the rest of your life. On the other hand, if you don't intend to have kids, or you know you're not married, or you're not able to, I want to tell you still need children in your life. Whether you're 18 or 90, you need kids in your life for two reasons. The very first reason is kids keep you young. And then children are God's way to teach you unselfishness. I want to tell you, when a mom or a dad gets up in the middle of the night to take care of the kids, they're not doing it because they like to. They're doing it because they love you. And it's out of just love that they do this. So whether you're a mother or a father, an aunt, an uncle, a grandmother, grandfather, or a friend, you need kids in your life. You know, we got plenty of opportunities here when I think of kids stuff. We got the student ministry. You know, we got the children's ministry. You know, you could mentor. But some way, get a kid in your life. Get a kid in your life. There was a study of at-risk kids in New York City and in D.C., and that they found out what matters if a kid makes it or not, become a productive citizen. And what they found out was that a kid is more likely to make it if they have an adult that cares for them. One adult that cares for, and it doesn't necessarily need to be their parent. But one caring adult makes all the difference in a kid's life. Just one caring adult. We got a lot of young families here at North Point. There's just tons of kids. And I can tell you, somebody that's been a parent for a good while, is nothing prepares you to be a parent. In a lot of ways, you just kind of learn as you go. And I could give you a lot of examples of what not to do. I failed in a lot of ways. I could give you a ton of them. But we want to talk about what we could do and what the Bible says to do the next few weeks, and the different needs. We're going to talk about the different needs. We're going to talk about emotional needs. We're going to talk about intellectual needs and relational needs. But today, we're going to start with the most important need that your child has, and that's spiritual needs. Spiritual needs, the most important need by far. You know, I've heard folks tell me, say, Jim, I'm not going to force my religion on my kids. You know, I'm not going to teach them about God. I'm not going to force them to go to church. I'm going to let them find their own way. I'm going to let them find their own path. Well, there's one word for that: stupid. It's just stupid. Some people are so open-minded, I just feel like their brains are going to fall out. You know, this is the most important thing in life. It is more important that they know God than to succeed in business. It's more important that they know God than to be popular. It's more important that they know God than how to throw a baseball. It's more important to know God than anything. Because none of that stuff's going to last. God simply did not create your kid to go to school, get a job, retire, and die. That's not what he created him or her for. Guys, if you miss that, you're going to miss out on the whole purpose of life for your kid and yours. You're going to miss it. Before anything else, you and I, we need to make sure that they get to know God, because this is the only thing that will last forever. Guys, this life is the preparation for the next. And we got to give our kids this spiritual foundation. It's the most important thing. It's most important for three reasons. We're going to jump into it real quick. The very first one, if you're filling in blanks here, and I hope you are, is that it is my responsibility. It is my responsibility that, you know, that they, for this foundation, that they know God. It's not the government's responsibility. It's not the school's responsibility. It's not even the church's responsibility. Now, the people here at church want to help you, but it's your responsibility. Ultimately, it's up to you, the parent, that they get to know God. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Exasperate means this: to set a standard so high that there's no way they can meet it. No, no. And eventually they give up. You set these expectations so high, they can't meet them, and they just finally give up. And what that is an unpleasable dad. When you expect things from your kids that you couldn't do. When you set a standard so high for your kids and you couldn't meet them. So to me, the first step in parenting is cut them some slack. Cut them some slack. Cut them some slack. Some of you kids going, "Yeah, we need to come back here, Dad." The reason is they're not adults. They're not adults. And so stop treating them that way. Another way to exasperate your children is stop changing your moods. Stop changing your moods. You know, one day you're this way, another day you're that way. One kid told me one time in private, he said, I never knew when my dad was going to hug me or slug me. He just never knew. And that exasperates a kid. Bible says don't do that. Don't be moody. And don't be giving them unreachable goals. I love what the end of that verse, it says, instead, training and instruction of the Lord. Did you notice that's not a suggestion? It's not an option. It's a command that you and I as parents, uncles and aunts, give them training and instruction of the Lord. I don't care how old your kids are. It's never too late. You can start today at 80. You can start today at 20. It's never too late, and it's never too early. See, as long as they're alive and you're alive, you have a parenting responsibility. Now, that role will change with age. Second reason it's important is this. This is the one that hit me. It is the key to God's blessing on my family. A spiritual foundation is the key to God's blessing on my family. Now, this verse that I'm going to read could be very scary. God gets straight to the point here. Hosea 4:6. My people are being destroyed because they don't know me. Since you have forgotten the laws of your God, I will forget to bless your children. Families, cultures, and businesses are falling apart. Guys, when you don't know God, life falls apart. God says, if you forget me in your marriage, he says, if you forget me in your family, I will forget to bless your kids. God is saying, don't expect me to bless your family if I can't be a part at the supper table. God says, don't expect me to bless your family if I can't be a part of your conversation. God says, Jim, don't expect me to bless your children if I can't be a part of your finances. Don't expect me to do that. Then the third one, this is a nice one too. Giving kids a spiritual foundation is the secret to multi-generational blessings. Giving kids a spiritual foundation is the secret to multi-generational blessings. Guys, you can do things now to bless your kids. You can do things right now, today, to bless your grandkids. You can do things now to bless your great-grandkids. Now, I started so late in parenting, I probably won't never meet my great-grandkids. But I can do things today. I can do things today to bless my great-grandchildren. Look at Psalm 78. God commanded our forefathers to teach their children so the next generation would know them, even children yet to be born, who in turn would tell their children. They talk about four generations in this verse. Guys, you and I, we can actually influence people that aren't even born yet, that aren't alive yet, by what you do and what you teach. Four generations or more will enjoy this blessing, will enjoy it because of your godly life. You say, Jim, my parents nor my grandparents were Christians. Well, guess what? It's time for you to start the chain. It's time for you to start the ball rolling here. My great-grandchildren will probably never meet me. But I feel assured they will be blessed because of what I'm teaching Sarah and Luke today. Today. You start it today. And I was thinking about this verse a lot this week, and in my mind went to what they might look like. Then I thought about what they might say. And I hope and I pray that they say, man, our life is blessed because of our great-granddaddy Jim. He walked with God. I hope they'll say that we heard he was a godly man, and he taught our grandparents, and they in turn taught our parents. I think they will be blessed because me and you tried our best to walk with God. There'll be a whole lot of glory shout. But a godly legacy is far more important than your hobby. Leaving a godly legacy is far more important than your business. Leaving a godly legacy is far more important than financial success. It's your choice what legacy that you're going to leave. So today and next Sunday, I'm going to teach you about 8 truths about God that every child today must learn. Whether you're 5 or whether you're 50, every child needs to learn these truths. All 8 of these truths are from the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is more than just a prayer. It's a template for life. And these 8 truths are the antidotes that to these emotional problems that kids are having today. And they're truths that counter the biggest lies that our world that we live in teaches. I'm going to give you just 3 of them today. The first truth about what every child needs to know about God is that God wants an intimate relationship with me. While y'all writing that down, chew this thing I got in my mouth. I never claimed to be a professional. I'm not paid anyway, so you can't dock my pay. I got to get that out of my mouth. Now I can holler. I thought I was going to holler and that thing shoot you right between the eyes. First truth is God wants me in an intimate relationship with me. Or he wants an intimate relationship with me. He desires an intimate relationship with you and I. He created us for that. Matthew 6:9 says, our Father in heaven. You know, before Jesus came and taught us to say this, nobody ever thought of God as their Father. This is a radical statement. This is when he says, our Father in heaven. He didn't say our dictator. He didn't say our master. He said our Father. Our Father. That he wants this intimate relationship with. And what kind of Father is God? Well, he's a caring father. He's a close father. He's a consistent father. And he is capable. You know, some dads are apathetic. You know, it's sad, but they just don't really care about their kids. And did you know that today, 2013, 25% of white kids grow up without the presence of the father in the home? 50% of Latino kids grew up without the presence of the father in the home. 75% of black kids grow up without the presence of the father in their home. It's no wonder today why we have a hard time relating to God as our father. They're not there. But God is a caring father when others don't. God is a close father when our earthly father is far away. God is a consistent father when our earthly fathers are moody. And God is a capable father when our earthly fathers may say, well, I'm good at business. I'm just not really good at being a dad. Why is this important to know that God is our heavenly father? Well, the reason is because it's the antidote to the number one problem that kids have growing up. You know what the number one problem that kids have growing up? Insecurity. Insecurity. They just absolutely feel insecure. Kids need boundaries in their life. They need them in their life to feel secure. We even hold them tight so they feel secure. In the 9 o'clock service, Lyle McClure came in with his wife and they got a big old baby boy. He's 10 months old, son. He's a chump. And I said, let me hold him. I love kids. I said, let me hold him. He was just kind of standoffish. He was looking at my beard, checking it out. And because it's all white. I tell my wife the other day, I said, men come in four stages. I've decided men have four stages of life. She said, what's that? I said, I believe we start off by believing in Santa Claus. Then I believe we start off not believing in Santa Claus. Then the third stage is we are Santa Claus. Then the fourth stage is, we look like Santa Claus. I'm in that fourth stage, and Lyle's son was checking me out. He was standoffish. Then I could see he was getting kind of antsy. And I gave him back to Lyle. Lyle hugged him. That little baby nuzzled up. He felt so secure in his dad's arms. He was just holding up on him. And I thought, kids want that. They want the boundaries. They want to feel secure. Our kids, a lot of times today, have this low self-esteem because they don't know that they have a heavenly father that's caring, that's close, that's consistent, that's capable. But when they know those four things, those kids can grow up with an attitude like I've told you before. I like me. God likes me. If you don't like me, what's your problem? You want your kids to have that kind of confidence? You teach them. God is your father, that he is caring, he is consistent, he is capable. Teach them. He is close. He's going to give them confidence. Then you won't have to wait until you're in your 40s to find that truth out and to find that confidence that you never had. God is close. Very few kids have that kind of confidence. You know what? Instead, we teach our kids, we teach them competition. We teach them comparing. Kids compare their hair. They compare their clothes. They compare their parents. They compare their appearance, their aptitude, the academics. They compare their athletic ability. They compare their achievements. You know, the only one kid, we're going to have a class of about 250 probably. Only one kid can be the valedictorian. That means that 249 others are going to be insecure. Unless they understand how much God loves them. Unless they understand how much God values them. It's up to you, guys. It's up to you. Number two, another thing that every child needs to know about God is God's name deserves my honor. God's name deserves my honor. Because his name represents his person. It is who he is. It represents his character. Matthew 6 says, hallowed be your name. Not by your name. Hallowed be your name. That means that you are to recognize that God is able to meet your deepest needs. This is so important that it made the Big Ten. It made the Big Ten Commandments that don't take the Lord's name in vain. But we do that all the time. We use God's name as kind of an exclamation point. We do it even when we don't swear. We say, oh my God. We use him as an exclamation point. God's name is holy. It's holy. And we go to movies and we hear it used in vain all the time. We hear people say, you know, things, Jesus Christ. You say, well, Jim, it don't bother me. It's just a movie. Well, it ought to. It ought to. What if I took your mom's name in vain? What if I took your mama's name in vain? If you are a child of God, it ought to bother you when somebody takes your father's name in vain and they use it as an exclamation point. It really ought to bother you. So next time you stub your toe, say, oh, Buddha. Or next time you hit your finger with a hammer, Hare Krishna. Something, Ron Hubbard, whatever. But don't use my father's name in vain. Amen? Third thing we ought to teach. God's purpose for me is part of a larger plan. You may be 65 years old before you learn this. Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God has a bigger plan. You know, kids instinctively know that they don't belong at the center of the universe. Kids instinctively know that they don't belong at the center of your family until they get to be a teenager. They know that they're part of your family, but not the center. I'm going to tell you something. If little Miss Princess gets her way all the time, you're going to raise an insecure child. An insecure child. Because kids know instinctively that there ought to be boundaries. Now, kids are going to grow up. When they grow up, or as they're growing up, they're going to push the boundaries. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. They're going to push them. But you just have to say, sorry, you know, we're not going to go there. We're not going to go there. This is our limits. And that's it. And guess what? That's secure. It's secure. It's stabilizing. Kids need to know that they're not the center of the universe. And that it's not about you. It's not about you. Guys, if you don't do that, you're just setting them up for a great disappointment from the world. If they grow up thinking everything's about them, the world's waiting on folks like that to chew them up and spit them out. That the plan that God has for them is part of a much bigger plan. It's not about us. It's about God. And see, this verse is the answer to the big questions in life, like what is the meaning of life? And why am I here? This verse tells us that God has a master plan. He has a personal plan for their life, for our life. God commanded our forefathers to teach their children so the next generation would know them, even children yet to be born, who in turn would tell their children. What will your great-grandchildren say about you? Will you talk about God in your everyday conversations? Will you talk to him at supper? Will you talk to him with your finances? What will your great, will your great-grandchildren say, "Boy, I never met him, but the way I understand it, he was a godly man"? Will you start to change today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your prayer. I thank you that you kind of turned the world upside down in so many ways. Jesus, I probably figure you'd be the most courageous man that ever walked the earth. To all of a sudden, to look at these people and say, "Here's the way you pray. Our Father. Abba." It changed everything. It was no longer we had to go to the synagogue or church or whatever it was. All of a sudden, he was our Father. I can imagine them scratching their heads, saying, "You'd lost it." Lord, you showed us that it's about a relationship, that our Father in heaven is caring. He's consistent. He's close, and he's capable. And because of those four things, I have the confidence to like me. And I have the confidence because you like me. And if other people don't like me, then that's their problem. Yes, my Lord. So Lord, I pray for our parents. And our soon-to-be parents, that they would teach their kids. I pray for our folks in the children's ministry, in the XP youth ministry, in the Awana, that they would help these parents. It's not up to the schools. It's not up to the government. It starts at home. Starts at home. What will my kids say is most important to me? I love you. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.